Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Later on in the show, we'll have a review of the new comedy The Campaign, starring Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. But right now, on the musical portion of the show, we're paying tribute to the late Marvin Hamlisch, who passed away just a few days ago at the age of 68 and had a lengthy, diverse career, one of only 11 EGOT winners. Yes, he won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony over the course of his career, and we're only going to tap into a small chunk of his career in the world of film music on the program today, but I do hope that you'll enjoy what we have to offer. We're going to begin with one of his most beloved scores, which ironically features music primarily written by someone else. It's the Oscar-winning soundtrack for the 1973 film The Sting, in which Hamlisch adapted a number of rags written by Scott Joplin and rearranged them quite memorably. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Delightful music written by Scott Joplin and arranged by Marvin Hamlisch for The Sting. Next up, a soundtrack which features an Oscar-nominated score and an Oscar-nominated original song for the James Bond thriller The Spy Who Loved Me. Enjoy.
Nobody does it half as good as
somewhat dated but nonetheless entertaining music written by Marvin Hamlisch with a bit of help from Carly Simon for The Spy Who Loved Me. A lot of Hamlisch's music is pretty simple stuff, but he did write a number of more complicated scores over the course of his career. One of those was written for the 1968 Burt Lancaster film The Swimmer. Let's take a listen. Thank you. music by Marvin Hamlisch, written for The Swimmer. Next up, a charming theme written for a fun little movie called I Ought to Be in Pictures. Let's take a listen. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're featuring music from composer Marvin Hamlisch on the program today. Next up, a couple of selections from his final film score, written for an entertaining, memorable movie directed by Steven Soderbergh and starring Matt Damon, called The Informant. Let's take a listen. Thank you. That's music written for The Informant by Marvin Hamlisch, a fine final score for sure. Let's move outside the world of film music for just a moment and feature a tune from a show that is perhaps the most well-known thing Hamlisch has done. This is music written for A Chorus Line. Enjoy.
I get step, kick, 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 touch. I get step, kick, 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 touch. I get step, kick, 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 touch. I get step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. Right. That connects with turn, turn, out, in, touch, step, step, kick, kick, leap, kick, touch. Got it? Going on. And turn, turn, touch, down, back, step, pivot, step. Walk, walk, walk. Right. Let's do the whole combination facing away from the mirror. From the top. On 5, 6, 7, 8.
God, I really blew it. I really blew it. How could I do it? boys, the whole group, ready. A 5, 6, 7, 8, up.
Music by Marvin Hamlisch, written for A Chorus Line. Last but not least, we move on to the Oscar-nominated soundtrack for The Way We Were. Enjoy.
Could we memories too painful to remember. We simply choose to forget.
That's the theme song, of course, from The Way We Were, performed by Barbra Streisand with music by Marvin Hamlisch and lyrics by Marilyn and Alan Bergman. Now time to move along to this week's movie review of The Campaign. We're in the midst of another heated political season, and once again the inflammatory rhetoric is escalating to absurd degrees. Have you seen the Obama campaign ad, which prominently features Mitt Romney mangling a rendition of America the Beautiful? Or the Romney campaign ad, which makes the absurd claim that President Obama is waging war on religion because his health care plan includes access to birth control? Washington is essentially a parody of itself these days, so a comedy has to go to some rather unreasonable lengths to present an exaggerated version of reality. Honestly, the most remarkable thing about Jay Roach's political comedy, The Campaign, is that it contains nothing really unbelievable, despite the fact that it's a film filled to the brim with absurdities. Cam Brady, played by Will Ferrell, is a Democratic senator running for his fifth term. He's a corrupt, adulterous, shameless, self-serving man, but people seem to like him well enough. He happily served his district for years, and he anticipates that he'll be running unopposed this time around. Alas, the villainous Mach brothers, played by John Lithgow and Dan Aykroyd, have other plans. The brothers are using their considerable financial resources to back a dim-witted Republican candidate named Marty Huggins, played by Zach Galifianakis. Brady has no hesitations about using dirty tactics to take down his new challengers as quickly as possible, so the two descend into a mudslinging campaign which quickly turns exceptionally nasty. The film's best and worst quality is that it doesn't really think much of humanity. The cynicism is spot on when directed at the voters of America, as the people of this country are indicted as shallow, reactionary fools who allow incredibly superficial campaign slogans and button-pushing statements to inform our decisions in the voting booth. However, the cynicism also extends to moviegoers, whom director Jay Roach doesn't trust enough to pick up on the joke. Unfortunately, The Campaign is consistently too obvious about both its targets and its message, opting for a sledgehammer when a scalpel would have been more appropriate, to borrow an oft-used phrase from the 2008 presidential campaign. Roach's political dramas, Game Change and Recount, have been smart, thoughtful looks at the political process, but his frustration with the system doesn't translate as well in this format. The message feels like it's getting in the way of the laughs, and there's no good reason why the two shouldn't be able to coexist, as in Adam McKay's comedy The Other Guys, which provided a barrel full of laughs and an indictment of Wall Street all at once. Still, the movie has its moments. Ferrell and Galifianakis are on their A-game, even if the material they're working with is pretty mediocre. They're able to get a lot of mileage out of some supremely silly stuff and make a potentially bland political satire into something which is always engaging, even if it isn't always good. The sequence in which Galifianakis decides to create a campaign ad in which he attacks Ferrell's abilities as a father is immensely funny, and Ferrell's extreme response even more so. During those scenes in which the rage against the system connects with something genuinely funny, the movie starts clicking. It's just that those scenes are too few and far between. While the leads do good work, the supporting cast is wasted. Casting John Lithgow and Dan Aykroyd as stand-ins for the Koch brothers was a good idea, but they aren't given anything interesting to do. Contrast these guys to the entertaining old businessmen portrayed by Don Ameche and Ralph Bellamy in Trading Places. Jason Sudeikis is wasted as Farrell's campaign manager, and Dylan McDermott is simply annoying in his role as Galifianakis' slick handler. Brian Cox lands a couple of laughs as Galifianakis' irritable father, but is hardly given much to work with. And don't even get me started on the paper-thin characterization of the two women playing the wives of the main characters. The campaign is one of the year's more frustrating comedies, because while it's hardly unwatchable or dull, it could have been one of the year's most entertaining films in the right hands. Producer Adam McKay might have made something spectacular out of it. Its heart is in the right place, but like many politicians, it doesn't really deliver most of what it promises. Too bad. I give it a rating of 2.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. Do hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, have a great week, everyone. I'll be back at you later.
Say, welcome to the USA. The common sense I sometimes lack has opened up a seismic crack. We've fallen in and I can't pull back. And I guess we'll have to stay. In open arms we put our trust. They put us on a big red bus. Twin spirits soaking up a dream, fuel to feed the press machine. Happy years that were long and lean. We're finally on our way. Richard Nixon's on his knees. He sent so many overseas. He'd like to know if you and me could help him in some way. A little camouflage and blue to mask the evil that men do. A small diversion caused by two. Bale kids come to play. And we heard Richard Nixon say, welcome to the USA. Neither of us understood the way things tick in Hollywood. We just load it in and grab the bat, with little room to swing a cat. And pretty soon we were where it's at. Or so the papers say. And all around us suntan teams, beauty like we've never seen. Heroes led us by the hand to Brian Wilson's promised land, where Disney's God and he commands both mice and men to stay. And Richard Nixon's on his knees. He sent so many overseas. He'd like to know if you and me could help him in some way. A little camouflage and blue to mask the evil that men do. A small diversion caused by two. Bale kids come to play. And we heard Richard Nixon say, welcome to the USA. In the bright red Porsche on sunset, I saw Steve McQueen. Guess he's just about the coolest guy I've ever seen. And for you and me, that speeding car is how it's gonna be. I see no brakes, just open road and lots of gasoline. Oh, we heard Richard Nixon say, welcome to the USA. The common sense I sometimes lack.